Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins.
Flashes, champions of the Mid-American Conference.
Little trick play and a throw to Baker Mayfield to tie the game. Buried, grab by Leonard. Throw to first. Unbelievable.
Chubb will take this all the way. 92 yards.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
The Indians have won the American League pennant.
It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
I accepted it.
Gladiator. 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 Fit to fight with the gods. I'm the giant slayer. Bone shaker. Dominator. Freight train wrecking ball. I'm the gladiator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Pass the Mic Sports Talk. I'm your host, Enzo Orlando, and alongside me is the host of Let's Get It Straight, Austin Arnold. Austin, how you doing on this Saturday?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I'm excited for what there is to come. Sports-wise, it's going to be a good day, but I can't wait for next weekend, Enzo.
I mean, who can either? Super Bowl week, I know this weekend's a very quiet weekend. I know there's college basketball on today and then Cavs play tomorrow, but really it's the Sunday without football. I know there's the Pro Bowl, but who watches that?
Yeah,
who watches the Pro Bowl?
No one. I know I don't.
I don't either. It's not exciting, but let's get into it with your team, the Washington football team. They have a new name and it's the Commanders. I'm a little surprised by it. But I want to hear your take on it since you're a fan of that team.
You know, I was on Brandon's World yesterday, and Brandon and I were talking for like 40 minutes about this. And, you know, that episode for Brandon's World, that should be coming out soon. I'll put something out on my Twitter for it. But, you know, when it first came out, I was like, this is a very tolerable name. It's a very tolerable name. I don't hate it. I don't love it. But in terms of a 20-month rebrand process, you have to almost say they did it right outside of every leak that happened the month leading up to the actual name change presentation, which I'm not surprised by that either because Washington likes to botch a lot of things. So I'm happy with Commanders. I'm happy with the uniforms. I think a lot of people are disrespecting the uniforms. Like, I love the burgundies. I love the matte helmet for the home and away team. I absolutely love that. The only uniform that I kind of, you know, could maybe say, all right, you know what, I really just don't know, is that white uniform. I think that white uniform, you know, I've heard a lot of people say it's like an in-between an Atlanta Falcons and an Arizona Cardinals. But at the same time, I like the white uniforms a lot. I think they're going to be nice on the field. I think my favorite in the set, however, and this is contrary to popular belief, those black uniforms, man. That's something new. I love it. Now, the helmet I'm a little questionable on, but when I saw the full helmet for the black uni, I was like, okay, I don't know why you put the W on the front of the helmet. You got the numbers on the side. I get that. But then you have like the three stars and the stripes for the DC flag on the back. So I guess I like it. I don't know. I really think they just did a good job, and I'm excited for this next chapter. And I think I could speak for a lot of fans, Enzo, when I say this, it doesn't matter what the name is. First, as long as it's not racist, it doesn't matter what the name is. The only thing that can cure everything is by winning football games. And if this team can win football games, it doesn't matter what the name's called. What matters is success. And that's what I'm excited for.
I do like, you know, the burgundy uniforms and the white. They look similar to what the Washington football team had. That's how they're those. The black, I'm not the biggest fan of those. I think they look cool and everything, but they look like a copy of the Pittsburgh Steelers uniforms. And you could be watching Red Zone one day or just an NFL game and you think the Steelers are out there, but no, it's the Washington Commanders. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how the approach to that, it looked like whatever they were doing, they kind of copied Pittsburgh style bits, which I don't like, but That's just how Dan Snyder is as an owner. Very cheap when it comes to things. And the name, it's like, it's not bad, it's not terrible, but I am starting to like see people come up with like many memes with the name, and then also referring them, and another it's like another controversial thing because people are calling them the commies, like communists or something. So that's coming up now. I mean, I do say it's a little bit better than the Guardians, but it feels like they took a better PR approach than the Cleveland baseball team. I would give you that.
Yeah, I this was a long thought process. You know, with Cleveland, they like, I get the whole Cleveland Guardians name. I get the Cleveland tie. I understand that. But I think it took some people people outside of when they announced it to kind of look up why they said that was the name. But again, I don't blame the Guardians as a name. I would have much rather liked to see the Cleveland Spiders, but I will not get into that right now. But going back to the uniforms and the whole rebrand for Washington, I thought they did a good job for 20 months. Again, name is very tolerable. I will kind of comment on the black uniforms. I did see that the pants had camo stripes or like a camo patch, like down the side. So that's why I kind of like them a lot, because they got a little bit of camo on, they got camo on the shoulders and they got a camo stripe down the side on both sides. That's why I think it's, you know, the best jersey. And then I think the worst one has to be the white, but I love it. They did a great job of it.
Yeah. I mean, the white uniforms are too white. Like literally there's not much of the burgundy color in there or even like the yellow color in there, which is like, you know, it's good that at least when these teams change their name, the colors haven't changed.
Yeah. That's the biggest takeaway that I could tell a lot of people liked is you have to keep the colors. That's tradition. That's your history. If you did a full blown rebrand, I think I would be on the side of why would you do that? You just ripped away, you know, 90 plus years of what we were, and you're trying to make it a really whole new infrastructure. And then at that point, I would have said Dan Snyder needs to go and you just need to clean the entire house.
I mean, yes. But speaking of just Dan Snyder and NFL owners in general, the recent news of Brian Flores suing the NFL based on like interviews and everything, it's not a good look getting from the NFL. And then, I mean, then you're also now seeing Hugh Jackson coming out saying that he was getting paid to lose, and it's now just a whole mess. And then more stuff with Washington's scandal and everything's coming up. So the NFL owner situation's a pretty mess. I mean, they're all pretty much old and white. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. There's not a single black owner of a football team. They're all old and white, like you said, and they all are stuck in their own times. And I think when you kind of look at it, listen, if Brian Flores wins this like lawsuit, wow, there will be some serious change that will happen. And I'm kind of pulling for him in a sense, because he's risking it all pretty much, Enzo. He's risking it to try and help others. And like, it's a huge risk, but if that risk is successful, you're going to have the biggest reward of all. And that's these coaches getting an opportunity. And I think Washington last year after, you know, like after the investigation happened, and it's still going on, we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But, you know, after that happened, you know, they hired a female social media head of social media for content. They hired a African-American team president. They hired a Hispanic and Latino head coach. They've done all these things to try and redefine their diversity terms, and I commend them for that, but I also think a little bit of that is Dan Snyder trying to save face.
Yeah, that is how just Dan Snyder rolls, and just very surprising that, you know, Stephen Ross was suggesting Brian Flores pay the lose, and he goes off and wins like 7 games in a row. They finish above 500 for the second season, he gets fired. And when he got fired, everyone was questioning, like, what are the Dolphins doing firing a coach who, even though they missed the playoffs, they were above 500 back-to-back years, and no one knew it was going until right now we figured out why. And he's been interviewing with other teams and stuff, and then that whole texting thinking that he got the Giants job, but it went to Brian Daboll instead. And then, you know, he recently just interviewed with the Saints job, which I think he has a good chance of getting the Saints job. And mm-hmm. the Saints also just interviewed Eric Bieniemy today. So
yeah,
the Saints are doing a good job with it, you know, keeping that diversity thing. But, you know, the whole Rooney Rowe and everything, it's feels like teams weren't taking it that seriously. I think they just kind of use like saying, hey, we did do it, but in the truth, fantasy, they may have not.
Yeah. I hope that Eric Bieniemy becomes a head coach. Like, listen, I want Brian Flores to become a head coach again. Don't get me wrong. I think the Texans listed him as a final three candidate. And I mean, I know it's the Texans, but you know, he could maybe turn that ship around and maybe keep Deshaun Watson there. Cause I know Deshaun Watson and Brian Flores have talked about, you know, doing a possible team up. But you know, if Eric Bieniemy goes a third cycle without getting a head coaching job, I think it's a damn shame because he has worked with Mahomes like literally one-on-one. And I know Andy Reid and Bieniemy are like two peas in a pod, but Eric Bieniemy needs to get his own chance. And I think with the Saints, it'd be perfect. The Saints aren't that bad of a team. And Eric Bieniemy, he can kind of decide, do I want Taysom Hill to be my quarterback? Or do I want to go out in the draft, get a guy of my own? Or do I bring in Jameis again, who before his ACL tear, he only threw three interceptions, Enzo. He was kind of having a renaissance of his own, and the Saints were actually playing good football.
Oh, he was, and I was happy seeing him play good. And then once he went down, you're like, oh boy, Saints season kind of online. I don't know how much you can trust Taysom Hill at quarterback.
Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see. I hope Bieniemy gets that Saints job. I really think it's been a long time coming for him. Just individually, he just needs a job. It'd be sick if he didn't get one.
Okay. So I did create up a list of NFL owners who need to go. Depending on how the Flores thing so, maybe some owners might have to step away, but I'm starting out with the first owner who needs to go is Dan Snyder. Even before the whole name thing and everything, he was just a terrible owner. The whole Sean Taylor situation, doing it like a week before the game against the Chiefs, that was a total disaster, trying to cover up things with that whole Gruden scandal and everything. And just even before with the name, saying the name wasn't racist and all that. I mean, what can you say? I mean, this guy is a literal piece of shit.
Oh, you know, that's like a good way to summarize it. I have never seen an owner rip a fan base in part. Since 1999, this scumbag, and I'll use the word scumbag because I'm done with it. He's ripped this organization's fan base from the inside out. You wonder why fans aren't going to the games, because it's a miserable game day experience. I've been to FedEx Field, and it's miserable. Each year that goes by, it gets worse and worse. I went to the Jets, formerly known as the Redskins, game back in 2019 when they had Dwayne Haskins, and there were more Jets fans than Washington fans. That should never happen. And you're taking out seats in the nosebleeds because you can't sell them. It's just a coronation of how bad he is as an owner. And I'll kind of reiterate, I hope that Congress really looks at everything this case has to offer and find some way to get him out of the NFL, because once he's gone, I think the fan base will come back around and really love this team like they did in the 80s and the 90s. But yeah, he needs to go. He has to go.
Yeah, he does. That's like I mentioned, and just even with him, you know, when it comes like free agent throws money at any guy, and they're like past their prime stars players. And then speaking of the stadium, you know, this season we saw malfunctions happening at the stadium, like sewage coming out, and then Jalen Hurts walking after an Eagles win as they clinched the playoffs, and the Eagles fans somehow went over the railing, and the whole railing just collapsed.
Yeah. Like,
they really need to look into a new stadium. I did hear some things about building a new stadium where old RFK was, because they're planning on demolishing it. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be pretty cool if that happens. It'll be closer to the DC area, easy access by train. I mean, because where is that? It's out in Maryland, and there's only highway access and one way in, one way out. And I heard traffic is just terrible there. So,
yeah.
Snyder really just needs to go.
Yeah, Snyder has to go. Now, I was hearing that, and I was reading into this a lot more. Their lease is up in 2027, and I know they're not renewing. So they are actively trying to work for that new stadium. And I have heard that they are thinking about DC now because, you know, the mayor wants them back in. She had like a huge post the other day saying, hey, come back to DC. You're called the Commanders now. Northern Virginia would be a good spot too. I think a lot of your fans are in Northern Virginia, so you'd be bringing in more fans. But I think if you really want to make it a central location, you got to put it back in DC. I think DC is the only place where they should be playing. And, you know, I did see something about them playing in Richmond, but if you play in Richmond, that's like 3 hours away from DC. That's pathetic at that point. So I don't know. It will be very interesting to see what they do, but I do know that FedEx Field will not be in use after 2027.
Yeah, I agree. The next owner I think needs to go is the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, after what we just heard about him paying Flores to lose games and he decided not. I mean, that just looks bad on just owner in general and just showing like how like owners see things as the way they operate it as a business. And they don't even care about wins. They just want to care about the future and getting draft picks. But in sports, you play to win the games. You don't play to win a draft pick unless your team literally is that bad. And the Dolphins were not a bad team this year at all.
Mm-hmm. The Dolphins, you know, outside of their horrible start, they pioneered a way to somehow almost make the playoffs. I get that they had a very bad back half of the schedule, which led to them getting to where they were at. But you have to look at it in the fine print and almost just say you have to commend their effort. Now, Stephen Ross, and I heard the reports of him trying to pay Brian Flores. That's just – I guess it's the term of being down bad, because again, you are trying to make the playoffs and you've had two seasons now where you've almost made the playoffs with Brian Flores and you haven't, because, well, the first time that was just a technicality issue. I mean, you lost to a Buffalo Bills team who was just better than you. Okay. The second time around, you dug yourself in a deep hole because you had a strong first half of the schedule. But then you were able to make up all that ground, and then you just couldn't beat Tennessee. If you beat Tennessee, you're probably in the playoffs as a 7 or 6 seed. I don't know. This Miami team, and I know a little bit more about them because of my friend Brady Hamilton. This dude is a diehard Dolphins fan. Like, he tells me stuff I didn't even know. But I think that whoever they get for their new head coach, you got to be offensive-oriented towards Tua, because – I have seen that you can win with Tua, but I don't know if you can get to the playoffs with Tua. I think they're kind of evaluating that. But Stephen Ross, like, gosh, it's so miserable by him. I don't like the whole pay to lose tactic. That makes no sense. You're only ruining your reputation.
I don't. And the next owners having the list, having them by each other, it's the McCaskey family of the Bears and the Ford family of the Detroit Lions. And the reason why they're together, I heard this on a podcast with Brandon Marshall on it, who used to play for the Bears. He just says the McCaskey's ownership, they really haven't changed the way they've done things since like the 1950s. They haven't adapted the way the game has changed and just the way you do things and operation styles and stuff. And there's a reason why the Bears only have one Super Bowl in 1985 when they had that elite defense, not really a franchise quarterback. Jimmy Mann really, he was not that good of a quarterback, but he was able to lead him there. And that's why the Bears haven't had a franchise quarterback. And same thing goes to the Lions too. I mean, the Ford family's been there forever and the Lions never made a Super Bowl, not even close. They wasted careers of Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, and you can even say Matt Stafford now. And just look how good Stafford is in LA now. He's in the Super Bowl and the Lions are still at the near bottom. I like the way they've gone with the Dan Campbell hiring. I think he is the future for that team. Just their ownership is just terrible from both these teams. And they've been owning these team forever. And their fans are just waiting for them to die. Like, can you just imagine? Like, I want a person that sounds like terrible, but it's just how it is for those fans.
Mm-hmm. I really wish I could relate, but I can't, obviously. I'll kind of start with the Ford family. Like, they have just been so mediocre for so long. And I really do think, and Enzo, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're the worst organization in terms of longevity in the history of the NFL. Like, I know I could come up here and say the Browns, but I think the Lions are worse. because before the Browns had Baker Mayfield and they actually had hope again, you know, the Lions consistently go like 6-10 or 6-11. And it's like there's no change that has happened. You bring these coaches in and they don't do the job. You wasted Calvin Johnson's career. You wasted Barry Sanders' career. Those are two Hall of Fame guys. Two Hall of Fame guys. And I just am floored that the Lions are still stuck in their own way. Now, I don't know. Maybe change is coming. Dan Campbell, I like him as a coach. I think you can't really fault him for having three wins this year because that roster was just not up to par. And maybe Jared Goff is that good bridge quarterback. But, gosh, for so long, you just can't do anything. And the best you've done is a wild card appearance. Oh, but that's the best you've done. I just, gosh, the Ford family, I feel bad for Lions fans because they need something positive to happen for them. And for Bears fans, I feel like the only problem with them is they just can never get a quarterback. They just can never get a quarterback or a good enough offense to really put them over the hump. And they've had a good middle defense these past couple seasons. And you know, maybe Matt Eberflus takes them to the next level, but you know, they just can't get a quarterback. And then their front office is a mess every year. And man, that just sucks for those organizations. But I think out of the two families that own those groups, I would maybe put the Fords third and the McCaskies fourth.
Okay, yeah. AFC, yeah. I think I had Ford and then, I mean, just, I don't know. I just feel just bad for these teams. And, you know, I remember one year they had Jim Caldwell and he led the team consistently on wins, made the playoffs. And then I don't know why the Ford family just decided to fire them.
Yeah. Jim Caldwell should have a job, right?
He should have a job. He should be a coach. I don't know why he was fired. And mm-hmm. they put Matt Patricia, which was just a disaster.
Yeah.
That was a desert. And then finally, the number five owner is Browns owner, Jimmy Haslam. Ever since Jimmy Haslam came into the league, he's gone through like more head coaches and GMs than probably anyone in a matter of less than 10 years. It's just been a carousel. I mean, the whole Hugh Jackson saga was a complete mess. And like, you know, him saying he came out and said he wasn't paying Hugh Jackson. He said Hugh Jackson didn't really just listen to him or anyone. He just did his own thing and just never got along in the organization. So I don't know which side to believe, to be honest. And him as an owner, I mean, the past, you know, years and stuff, I mean, the Browns have improved, but after this season, I'd say some of the blame could go on him. I don't know about the whole starting quarterback situation, because I remember when we had Johnny Manziel, Haslam was pushing to have him in and was telling Kyle Shanahan, who was the offensive coordinator, to put him in, and it was just bugging. It could have happened that with Baker this year, even though he was like so banged up, and maybe Haslam was telling Stefanski, keep Baker in, you know, he's the quarterback. I don't care how, I want to win games. He's our guy or whatever. It's, I don't know. Haslam is a bit of a clown himself. I mean, he has decided to do some good recently, but with all this, you know, I mean, hopefully he wasn't paying Jackson to lose. I mean, he had a bad roster, Hugh Jackson, and he's just a clown of a coach in general.
Mm-hmm. And I really don't know much about Jimmy Haslam. That's more of like your realm because you're the Browns fan in the podcast. But, I kind of just lost like a lot of respect for Jimmy Haslam when I heard about the whole Pilot J thing. And I was like, okay, well, if you're doing that, then I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, I just know that Jimmy Haslam is not in any way, shape, or form worse than Dan Snyder. And Dan Snyder is the – if we're comparing – if we're talking about a pyramid, the top of the pyramid is Dan Snyder. You can't get any worse than that. So, I don't know. The whole Jimmy Haslam thing, just after Pilot J, kind of lost respect for him. But, you know, same time, the Browns have been better recently. So he's kind of stepping out of his way to kind of let the team operate. I think that's how owners should be, not really be too involved. Obviously, you want to be involved. That kind of came out wrong. But you don't want to be involved with, like, who your coaches and who your front office want. That's why they're hired to do their jobs. Now, you can have, like, your input, like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, he'd look good in a Browns uni, but, you know, let the front office and let the coaches decide who they want, and you just hand them their checks. It's literally it.
And then honorable mentions for terrible owners that need to go, but I doubt it, is Stan Kroenke of the LA Rams and Dean Spanos of the LA Chargers. Both of them said, fuck you to St. Louis and San Diego. We're moving to LA and going into the bazillion dollar stadium of SoFi where the Super Bowl's at. The Rams are in it. And I don't know, just seeing Kroenke with that trophy. I don't know how he like looks at it. It's just, he's just a greedy guy. I think he owns a couple other teams too. I believe he owns the Avalanche and the Nuggets.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does as well. I do remember hearing that he owned a couple other teams. I don't really blame Kroenke. I don't think Kroenke is one of the worst owners, but I will elaborate on Dean Spanos, because Dean Spanos, God, he's just like Dan Snyder. Like, you just rip out the fans that you have in San Diego, and they've been there for so long. And I get that Qualcomm was a terrible stadium, but like, can you at least try and like negotiate? Like, you know, going to LA and being that second team is never fun. They're literally that second team. And no matter how good the Chargers are, they're not going to have the same amount of respect that the Rams are going to have.
I don't even think the Rams.
And the Rams don't even really have that many fans. Like, it's Oh, my God.
Did you not see in the NFC Championship game, there were more Niners fans than Rams fan. And in the Super Bowls in L.A. where the Rams play, and there's going to be way more Bengals fans than Rams fans. You can say how much of its home field advantage. It's, L.A. is just not a football town.
It's not. It's a basketball
Lakers, and Lakers and the Dodgers. That's all they care about over there.
Yeah.
You could count in the Clippers and the Angels. But
those are the second teams.
Yeah, they're the second team.
Yeah, like unless you're from Anaheim, then you're not going to be going, hey, let's go Angels. You know, if you're from Anaheim, I get that, but it's a Dodgers town.
Yes, I agree. Dodgers and Lakers. I mean, just them screwing over two cities too. I think San Diego did have a plan to build a new stadium, but they just wanted tax dollars from the people, and they said no to that. And Spano's like whined like a baby, didn't get his way. I'm going to go up an hour north to LA. That's pretty much all that happened.
Yeah. Dean Spanos, he's just like Dan Snyder. He likes to wear you out as a fan. He likes to rip you of your team. And he likes to really just, to sum it all up, rot your organization from the inside out. So that's how I feel about Dean Spanos.
Yes. All right. So with that, a little bit more NFL news happened other than the whole Ryan Flores situation. But the Jaguars, they have a new head coach, and they hired the former Eagles head coach, Doug Peterson. I like that move. I believe Peterson does deserve another shot in the NFL. I know the ways that it ended in Philly did not go well with him, Carson Wentz, and management. But he does have a Super Bowl winning. He did develop Carson Wentz. I believe he can do that with Trevor Lawrence now, because after that whole situation with Urban Meyer, did not do well for the whole team in general.
Yeah, when I saw this news break, this is like at like late at night this news broke. I'm like, Doug Peterson's going to the Jaguars? Like that's actually a move that I'm a little shocked that the Jaguars were able to bring in a bigger name like that, because you never would think with Jacksonville and how small that market is and with how small that fan base is that they would really care about, you know, bringing in the bigger names. But listen, if all goes well, the Jaguars, if you can just develop Trevor Lawrence, because Urban Meyer did not do that. He is the epitome of NFL coaches. He's just terrible. If Doug Peterson can come in and make this Jaguars offense, I'd say top 15, build a little bit more of that defense. The AFC South is literally wide open every year, no matter how much we want to say the Titans are that team or how much the Colts are that team. They're wide open every year. You don't know who's going to win it. And I think if the Jaguars, they got a lot of money in cap space. You add a couple people in free agency, you might be singing some praises. I like that move a lot, and we'll see what the Khan family is going to do from here on out.
Yeah, we'll see. And then – finishing off the NFL, I already gave my Super Bowl predictions, but Austin, I want to hear who you got in Super Bowl 56 between the Bengals and the Rams.
All right. I think it's going to be a closer game. I think defenses are going to matter. I'm going to say this, though. When you are a team of destiny, it's really hard to get in your way. And for the Cincinnati Bengals, they are a team of destiny. Despite how bad that offensive line is, they were able to beat the Raiders. They were able to beat the Titans in Tennessee. And they were able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, not once to get the AFC North title, but a second time to go to the Super Bowl in Kansas City. And so I'm going to go with Joey Burrow. I'm just going to go with the Bengals. They are the team of destiny. And I think they get it done after a long wait for Cincinnati fans. I think they get it done. 20-17 is my final score. Money Mac McPherson will kick a game-winning field goal to win them their first Super Bowl in franchise history.
All right. I mean, don't have a problem with that. I mean, I'm going with the Rams just because division rival, and we Browns fan talk too much smack about the Bengals passing on Penny Sewell and going for Ja'Marr Chase. I cannot tell you how many people did that. The Bengals are literally living the Browns supposedly season we were going to have, and sadly, no one thought the Bengals were going to be in it, and somehow they're here, and you know the Browns are still being the Browns. And also, are you going to do the pass to Mike Super Bowl squares? We have that challenge going on.
Yes, I think I'm going to do it. I want to do these squares. I'm all in.
All in. Sounds good with that. Now let's head over to the Cavaliers, and the All-Star reserves were announced on Thursday, and Darius Garland is representing the Cavs in the NBA All-Star game. He's the first Cavalier since LeBron to be representing the All-Star game. I think it's good. The Cavs are hosting it this year. It's good for the city of Cleveland having someone on your team and you're hosting the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm. Darius Garland definitely deserved to get in with how he's been playing this year. I think, you know, without Darius Garland, the team isn't where they're at. He's kind of the orchestrator for, and I think Cavs fans can agree, he's the orchestrator of the orchestra. He's the guy that lets the offense flow. And, you know, he's averaging a good 20 to 21 points per game. He's been so good for the Cavaliers this year. You know, I personally think he should have been in over Allen 100%, even though Allen has been very dominant in the paint. And I'm happy that Cleveland finally gets a guy other than LeBron James and Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love to represent them in the All-Star game, because now we're starting to see the Cavaliers. And I talked about this in, you know, your show way back when, that the Cavaliers, if they keep playing the way that they're playing, they've still been doing that, they're still a hard team to beat. Darius Garland representing the Cavs in the All-Star game, it's going to be a good sight to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I was a little bit questionable if Jared Allen deserves a spot. I mean, he has been having a good season. It's just the All-Star game, it's like pretty competitive to really get in it. I mean, he does have good numbers and everything, but I just think, you know, there was enough big men on the East side, and you know, he might get a spot because I heard, isn't Kevin Durant not playing the All-Star game?
Yeah, Kevin Durant's not going to play. Sorry to interrupt you, but Kevin Durant's not going to play. And, you know, hopefully he gets in. I think he should get in now. Jaylen Brown or LaMelo are probably other names to watch for. But I think Jared Allen should 100% get in I know that KD can't play because of his injury. But I will also say this to kind of wrap up my thought on Jared Allen. I have seen a lot of people say, you know, does Chris Middleton deserve it? Well, yeah, he's averaging almost 20 points per game. He's reserve. He's one of those guys for the Bucks that has just been good this year. He's one of those offensive masterminds that lets that Bucks team be as good as they are. So I'm not going to say Chris Middleton doesn't deserve to get in. But, you know, it was really interchangeable for me and Jared Allen with Chris Middleton. If you put Middleton in, Cavs fans would feel how they're feeling now. If you put Allen in, the Bucks fans would be feeling the same way. So, I don't know. Jared Allen, he does deserve to get in, though, for Kevin Durant's final spot.
Okay, but sticking with the Cavs, played last night against the Hornets. I mean, won 102 to 101, but we're not going to talk about game. We're going to talk about that. What the hell was that call by the officials after a dead ball? Terry Rozier goes to shoot up a shot, and Darius Garland tries to swipe it out, and somehow became the Hornets. Well, I was just mind blown with that. I was just confused at that call, like how JB Vickers that was and the whole Cavs bench. Like, I can't even like describe it in words. It's just that hard. And how do you know that call?
I'm gonna quote someone here, and you'll know who I'm quoting. Keeps the fans on the edge of their seats. You know, it's typical keeping the fans on the edge of their seats type stuff. You almost think that it's like a rig for entertainment. You know, I'll kind of end the quote there. That's what I thought, because how on God's green earth is that even acceptable? That's the worst I've ever seen. A play that happens after the whistle was blown. We already knew it was out of bounds. Dean Wade touched it out of bounds. But you give him 4 points, four free points? That game should have not been 102 to 101. That's just a clear botch job by the officials. And at that point, you almost think, man, maybe these games are starting to get rigged for teams to start trying to work their way back into the standings. But, oh, man, it's just the typical definition of Cleveland against the world. That's how I look at it at the end of the day. And the Cavs, they got the win, as they should have had it. They should have won that game. But, gosh, man, like, that's such a – that officiating crew should not work for a month.
No, but with leaning in that, that leads into, of course.
What are you doing, Drunky?
Drunky of the week. And you might as well go ahead and put those roughs as Drunky for you.
Yeah, right? No, they're mine. They're mine. Yeah. I was kind of leaning towards someone else before last night, but I'm like, no, I can't. They're the drunkies of the week. You cannot allow that to happen in games. And you wonder why people don't watch these games anymore, because these officials are god awful. It's so terrible by these officials. So bad. No, that whole crew shouldn't work for a month. They're my drunkies of the week.
What are you doing, drunky?
I agree with you on that. And my drunkie of the week, I got to go with Hugh Jackson, because this guy, he's now the coach at Grambling State. He heard about this Brian Flores situation, and he's like, I might as well go on ESPN the day this is all going down and talk about, hey, that the Browns were paying me to lose after I went 1-15 and 0-16 and then 3-5 the following season, then got fired. So, that was just terrible. And then he also went on CNN, too, with Anderson Cooper. I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's making this whole situation about himself, really not taking in the place about anything that happened. He was never accountable for everything done. I'm like, why did we keep on seeing more of Hugh Jackson? It's been at least 4 years since he last coached in the NFL, and he's still coming out with things on the Browns and stuff, and he's changing his opinion every time he goes on someone's show. I mean, he even went on our good friend Christian Hinn's show and said something, and he told me it was believable. Now he's like questioning what Hugh Jackson said. I mean, enough of this guy. Focus on coaching the college football and getting your ass kicked by Deion Sanders and Jackson State.
Yeah, huge. And I did see something earlier today that Hugh Jackson said that the Browns weren't paying to lose.
Yeah.
I saw that on some type of account. Might have been like on Pro Football Outsiders, I think. That makes – he's literally just an attention whore. Pardon my mouth. But that's what he's starting to become. Also, I wanted to go back to the Cavs a little bit. They are eyeing Caris LeVert, so maybe they make a trade for him come deadline. That'd be a good add, in my opinion, because the Pacers are tanking. But, you know, the Cavs need some other scoring lift to kind of put them in a place where they could maybe start saying, hey, we could win the East.
I mean, they could win the East. I mean, they're playoff contenders, no doubt about that. I think when it comes to the Cavs, it's like, are they going to be in the conference finals or the NBA finals? That's where it gets a little iffy right there. I mean, they're still a young team. I mean, they got good veterans with Kevin Love and Rajon Rondo. But just when it comes to them going further in the playoffs, that's where it gets iffy for me as a Cavs fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think I was saying before this season, you know, like, the play-in tournament's what you're aiming for. Well, they're clearly not a play-in team. They could be the one seed by season's end. I think they're like 1.5 games out right now. But, you know, we'll wait and see how this team is. Hopefully they make some significant move, whether that's with Brandon Ingram, whether that's with Caris LeVert. Those are my two coveted guys. You need some other scoring lift to put you in a position to start saying, hey, conference finals could be the ceiling. But it could also, you know, we could also go to the finals. You never know. Right now, I see this Cavs team getting to the second round. I don't know if they can win in a second round series, but I could see them getting to the second round.
Yeah, I see that too. Thanks, Austin, for coming on. But before the show ends, I got a big announcement for our guests in our next episode of Past Mike Sports Talk. I know we can't have our co-host Michael after the Super Bowl because it's Valentine's Day, and then that's screwing up with trying to do things. So our next episode will be probably like that Wednesday or Thursday coming out, and we are having the man, the myth, the legend, Donnie Art on our show. That man Donnie's coming on from North Ridgeville. That's gonna be something. Alongside with Donnie's my good friend Daniel Stuwiski. He's a big basketball guy, so we'll be talking the Super Bowl and the NBA All-Star game, and that's gonna be a show. I mean, Donnie has been talking to me. He loves listening to my show. He loves your show too when you're on. I remember you calling to your show too.
Tell Donnie the next time you talk to him that I got a bottle of Johnny Walker waiting for him.
Donnie would love that too. I mean, that he honestly was wish he could have called into my show as much as he used to, but he was, he works late at his factory job, and he was only able to listen on the drive home, and he's driving his 98 Ford F-150 pickup truck, and the Bluetooth ability to call in. But that's huge news, folks. Donnie is coming on Past Mike, and everyone loved Donnie. He made the show a lot of the times.
Big old Donnie. I can't wait to listen to that.
That's going to be fun. All right, Austin, thanks for coming on again. Give a shout out to your socials or anything.
Yeah. So you guys can follow me on my personal page right now. It's Arnie Sports on Twitter. You can follow me on that. I post a lot of sports opinions there. I try to make it more like professional rather than personal, but that is my one and only page. My LGIS on BSR Twitter is going to come back into use probably in March. My new podcast, Something with the Washington Commanders Now, we're in the works with that. Don't have a title yet, but it's going to come in March, probably around new league year. That's what I'm thinking, because that's when everything's going to be picked up and starting to go into the off season. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. I'll announce it on my LGIS on BSR Twitter account, and I will also post that on my Arnie Sports personal account on Twitter. And then you can follow my Instagram at LGIS on BSR on Instagram. And if you want, you can follow my personal page at arnie.51 on Instagram. But those are all the socials that I have, so come join the ride.
Yeah, looking forward to that Washington Commanders podcast. One of the first of its kind to be coming out. I know there's already other Washington podcasts, but they probably have to change their name and stuff. Or maybe it was just Washington Footballs. I can't remember. I know you listen to a lot of those.
Yeah, probably like five a week.
Wow. All right. Thanks for coming on, Austin. And we'll see everyone on the next episode of Past Mike Sports Talk. And with that, Travis Kelce, just take it away.
I learned one thing since I've been here. You got to fight for your right.